Listener says, I can't say enough about the show called The Greatest Show. It was so professional and just incredible. This is one of our listeners. Somebody else saying, unreal show, it should go on the road. I'd say they probably need to take a little bit of a breather first, but thank you for that. All right, then, it's time for farming. And glad to be joined by acting news editor for the Farmers Journal. That's Amy Ford. Amy, good morning to you.
Morning, Brian.
Good to talk to you today. Can we first of all speak about the farmers fearing that re-wetting will slash land prices? Because this is a big issue now, is it not, Amy?
Yeah, it is, Fran. Unless you've been living under a rock in recent weeks, re-wetting is fully to the fore in the news. And anyone that would have heard the Dáil yesterday even know that there was a war of words and the Dáil was suspended twice as a result of a war of words between the Minister of State, Pippa Hackett, and West Cork TD, Michael Collins, during a debate on nature restoration. The story continues to move on. And this week we are reporting that the Irish Natural and Hill Farmers Association, they're maintaining that a collapse in the value of farmed peatlands is likely consequence of re-wetting and rewilding, and they're saying that these land values are going to take a hit. They're saying that the market price of upland and bogland has been slashed as a result of environmental designations that are in place already over the last 15 to 20 years, the SAC, the SPA, those type of designations. And now they're warning that a similar fate is going to be in store if these lands are re-wet. It could be a possibility.
But my understanding, Amy, is that they're not for turning on this because this is coming from Europe, is it not?
Oh, 100%. This is going to happen. There is going to be a certain amount of drained farm peatlands re-wet in this country, or land that was shored or drained in over the years. Europe, basically, there's three stools that it has to go through, no more than a law here, going through the Dáil and the Shannons and so on. The European Council, the European Commission and the European Parliament all have to agree on the targets that are to be set, basically, for member states over the coming years and out to 2050. Those negotiations are still ongoing, but there will be a certain amount, thousands of hectares, that will need to be re-wet, and like that debate continues.
And Amy, as a non-farmer looking at this, I presume a lot of money would have been invested in draining this land over generations possibly. Will farmers be compensated in some way for that?
So I want to say the funny thing is, but it's not really funny when you think about it, Fran. Decades ago, EU policy was to increase food production, and to do that, there was grants to drain land to increase the stock carrying capacity, so you could have more cows, more sheep, better conditions to farm that land. And now, the way things are going, because of obviously the climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis, the nature crisis, that's flipping around. And over the last two caps, there is more of an environmental focus coming into the cap, and that's the way policy direction is moving. So farmers were originally at one stage paid in parts to drain this land to drive on food production, and now that's been slowing down and the cog is turning back to more nature, more trees, more hedges, more re-wetting essentially and rewilding to give land back to nature to help store carbon and to restore obviously species. I've actually forgotten what your original question was.
No, I was just talking about the possible compensation for the, the amount of investment that would have been put into it. But sorry, Amy, I beg your pardon. You were going to say?
You're okay. So it's going to be voluntary. That's the one thing government ministers, while they're kind of all not singing off the same hymn sheet on this, they are all saying it's going to be voluntary and it won't be forced on farmers, and you'd have to assume that there will be some sort of compensation or payment or incentivisation on the table for them to do that.
More poor news for the farming community from the census as well, and I was reading this during the week. 1 in 5 farmers over 65, Amy. What is that saying about the future of agriculture in this country, do you think?
Yeah, look, it's something that we've known for years, really, Fran, isn't it? That the average age of farmers is older than other sectors of the economy. Less than 1 in 3 people in farming are under the age of 45, and 1 in 5 are over 65. That's what the census that was taken last year shown. Over 30% of workers in agriculture, forestry and fisheries are under 35, barely half the national average of 57% across all the other sectors. A further worrying demographic indicator is the number of workers under 35, but only 15% under the age of 35. And again, one in five farmers being over the traditional retirement age, obviously I think it says a lot that, you know, there obviously needs to be something done on generational renewal to encourage younger farmers into the sector. And no other sector had anything like as many older workers that the agriculture sector did.
Yeah, but it's in such a state of transition at the moment, you'd wonder why it would be attractive to young people, Amy, I suppose.
Yeah, in one way, like, there are grants there. There's great opportunity in agriculture, Fran, you have to say, in one way. Like, dairy farming is really pushing on, and there's diversification for the other lower income sectors, shall we say. You know, a lot of people now are diversifying. A lot of people have off-farm jobs anyways. But in terms of the future and where it's going, there are grants there, but there is, the environment is sort of hamstringing it a small bit. There's going to be increased nitrates clamped down in terms of obviously stock carrying capacity, and that's under review this year. You have the re-wetting, and you have other environmental enablers. So
you have that story that broke yesterday about the possible cull of up to 200,000 as well, and that's a whole other dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There is a lot to consider about going into the industry, but at the same time, it's a great industry in terms of jobs, in terms of food production. At the same time, there's a lot of good that can be done in farming too.
Sure. Just finally and briefly, if you would, Amy, the top cap earners have been revealed. Just largely, who are they?
Yeah, so this is every year, obviously, because the cap is EU funded and funded by member states. The Department of Agriculture has to release who earns over a certain amount of money. So beef farms, stud farms and vegetable growers are among the top earners of direct payments under the cap. Country Crest Arable Limited, a 3,000-acre tillage and vegetable farm in Dublin, they received just under €237,000 in direct payments last year. They're owned by Michael and Gabriel Hoy. Other ones that are there are O'Shea Farms Unlimited in Piltown in Kilkenny. They landed the second highest cap payment at €224,000. And then another Godolphin Ireland, basically the 1,500-acre Kildangan stud in Kildare, came in third with a cap payment of €222,000. So a lot of money going out there into those earners.
But it does play into what everybody's saying, really, that it's the sort of big industrial farming, essentially, that benefit most.
In some cases, obviously, some of these companies have obviously built up entitlements and built up land area to garner these payments, and that's what it all comes down to. And really, the big change will be this time next year, Fran, hopefully, when we're talking to you, when this is the first year of a new cap and there is an increase in convergence again. So these payments should shrink again, and they're trying to make it more level and bring smaller farmers up to an average and the bigger earners down as well.
Well, hopefully so. Amy, really good to talk to you today. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks,
thank you. Bye-bye to you. Now, Amy Ford there of the Irish Farmers Journal. Of course, the journal is on your shelves right now. News and information is coming up.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. You can't beat experience. With over 50 years maintaining Peugeot cars and vans, we like to call ourselves the experts. Call Slattery's Garage for a free vehicle health check today. 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.